Well, about a month ago, before we were preparing to move, Kathy and I went to Little Rock for a special occasion. It was actually Valentine's Day, the anniversary of our engagement, and so we went to a James Taylor concert. This, I think, was the third time we had been to a James Taylor concert, and so it was a very special occasion. It was a time for us to kind of remember and reflect on our journey together. But I have to tell you, as we were gathering in the arena, out of the lobby, Kathy was going to get a t-shirt, and I was just standing there, and it's kind of fun to watch the crowd, but I was somewhat troubled and disillusioned by the crowd of which I was part. It looked like an AARP convention. And I realized I was part of this AARP convention. So that was a little troubling, but it was exciting to be there. I was a little unnerved by the crowd. I kept standing there saying, "Do I look like that?" And I do. So we were excited to be there, and what struck me this time as I listened to James Taylor, first of all, it's the soundtrack of my life, of many of your lives, if you're a baby boomer. It's the soundtrack of our life. We grew up with James Taylor. But I'm always amazed at his creativity, his sensitivity, in his songs. They're just so remarkable. And as I reflected on it in the moment and afterwards, I thought to myself, you have to do a lot of living to write those kind of songs. You have to do a lot of living. You have to go through a lot of experiences to have that kind of music flow out of you. So on the way home the next day, we were riding down I-40. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with I-40 between Little Rock and Memphis, but it's rice paddies. There's nothing out there. No offense if you're from that part of eastern Arkansas. But we were riding along, and I was driving. Kathy, we had this conversation going on about James Taylor, how amazing he is. And I said, well, let's find out a little more about his background. So she Googled James Taylor. We were riding along talking. And I had known about his alcoholism, his drug abuse, some hard living. But we discovered something that I'd never heard before. At a very early age in his young adulthood, actually in college, I believe, he wound up in a mental hospital for 9 months. And wow, I thought to myself, what a wilderness time that must have been for him. But really, he says it was transformative. All these years later, he comments on it. He says, I'm not ashamed of that part of my life or my identity. It's what makes me who I am as me. So I thought, wow, if we could all be like that, learn from our journey, learn from our experience, and somehow convert adversity to resilience. That's really, in many ways, what the journey is all about. So I want to focus today your attention on that movement from difficulty, a wilderness passage, vulnerability. I want to focus your attention today on how adversity can be transformed into resilience. So with that lens, we look at the temptation of Jesus. Even Jesus. What's fascinating is his baptism and his wilderness experience, his temptation, are linked together in the Gospel of Luke. Really, all of the Gospels. It's almost as though they're one unit to be read together. Jesus goes for his baptism at the Jordan, and what's significant about that is that as he is baptized for Jesus, the voice of God the Father speaks and says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God anoints him, descends on him, comes to rest on Jesus. But what's fascinating about it is immediately the text transitions into the Spirit. He's full of the Spirit when he returns, but the Spirit directs him into the wilderness. I don't know if you find that fascinating. I find that fascinating. Here is a young adult, even Jesus, at one of the high moments of his life, the affirmation from God the Father, but yet the Spirit leads him into the wilderness, propels him to be tested, to experience vulnerability and adversity. Even Jesus. I don't know about you, I find that comforting. Every single one of us in our life's journey will move through seasons of adversity. Every single one of us, if you've lived long enough, if you're the age of me or James Taylor or older or even younger, in time, in the journey of your life, you will move through wilderness passages. They will come. And so what are we to glean from that experience? Well, look at the life of Jesus. Even as the Messiah, what can we learn? Some of you may be familiar with the writer Joseph Campbell. One of his most famous books is The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And it has this description of the heroic journey. But really, it's the human journey. It's the path that all of us follow. It's called the monomyth. And so it runs in a circle. You leave home and you move from innocence into experience. Experience brings knowledge, awareness. And here's the thing about knowledge and awareness. The world is not as it appears to be. And adversity will come. And you will gain personal knowledge of adversity. And that brings pain. That brings suffering. It's a maturation process. And so innocence, experience, knowledge, which is painful at times, a new set of eyes to see the world. And it moves all the way down to this point of vulnerability, the dark night of the soul. And it is only by moving through that journey into the heart of darkness, into the very center of vulnerability and adversity, that your character is revealed. And your character is transformed. And so, in the heart of darkness, when you are tested, when you live through adversity, when you live through darkness, when you don't know exactly how to put one foot in front of the other, but you keep moving, in that adversity, that wilderness passage, your character is refined. And so in the heroic journey, hopefully in our journey, we return home with wisdom and grace to share. That's the heroic journey. It's our journey, the monomyth, the one journey. What's fascinating is that cultures all around the world actually try to facilitate that journey for their young as a way of moving into maturation. You cannot mature without learning to deal with adversity. You can't do it. When I was at the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation in South Dakota several years ago. They wanted to teach us about their culture. And I was fascinated to learn that they still send their youth on what's called the Vision Quest. It sounds like observing the season of Lent. Lent is 40 days long. So they facilitate this journey where their youth actually physically go out into the wilderness. They fast. They're hungry like Jesus was hungry. And in the midst of that vulnerability and that adversity, they receive a vision. The Spirit teaches them what their true nature is, what their true character is. And by moving through that journey, they are transformed. And they come back with a sense of who they are called to be. Vision Quest. And so I find that in the journey of Jesus into the wilderness for the temptation. You see, the wilderness isn't geography. It's spirituality. It is a maturation process. What's fascinating about that is that even Jesus, the Son of God, went through this wilderness passage. And so what can we learn from that? Well, we're familiar with the temptations, the three temptations. The thing is, these temptations are not just one-time events. They don't just occur one time. They are conceptually temptations that will occur over and over again in the life of Jesus, maybe even for each of us. And so the content is important, but there's a larger picture, a deeper understanding. So let's look at the temptations just briefly. We know them. Satan, the adversary of God, comes to Jesus in his vulnerability in this wilderness passage. And he says, "You're hungry. There are many people who are hungry. See these stones? Turn them into bread." And we know how Jesus responds. But how might that translate into something that's meaningful for us? So in a broader sense, turning the stones into bread, something that would satisfy immediately, it's about instant gratification. How often are we tempted in the moment to do something short-term that might satisfy us, but long-term will not sustain us? And so instant gratification. Then the next thing, the devil tempts Jesus with earthly authority, earthly glory, but Jesus says, "Oh no, no, no. My identity comes from God the Father. My glory will come from God the Father." And so embedded in that is a temptation for us to seek approval from the wrong source or sources. And then the last temptation, the devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and he says, "Jump off." He even quotes scripture at him. "The angels will come and swoop you up and save you. Jump off." Again, Jesus says no. And so what might that mean for us? Jesus was being tempted by the very thing we're tempted to do, perform. Maybe even do something spectacular. Gain applause. "Yay, we think you're great." So there's lots of depth and breadth to these temptations. But here's the heart of the story. Jesus says no in order to say to the devil, in order to say yes to God. It was a test, even for Jesus, of his obedience. Now, this is where Henry Nouwen is so very helpful. He says, yes, the issue is obedience. But he says, do you know the root of obedience? Do you know the source of your obedience? Even for Jesus, the temptation was, are you going to be obedient to God the Father? Are we going to be obedient? How do we do that? So Henry Nouwen says, the root word for obedience comes from a word that at the very core of its meaning, audire, means to listen. Isn't that fascinating? If we are to obey, to say yes to God, and learn to say no to the adversary of God or all of the crowds or whatever it may be, the voices around us that would lead us astray, if we're going to learn to do that, we must learn to listen. And so embedded in the wilderness passage, this movement from adversity to resilience is the refining of our hearing. Spiritually, the refining of our discernment of the very voice of God. That's the heart of the story. Yes, there are individual temptations. Yes, they may be conceptually, they may come back around and tempt us again. They did for Jesus. But the heart of the story is learning to listen, to discern, to say yes to God and no to the adversary of God. And so I don't know about you, but by the grace of God, as I have moved through my wilderness passages, I've come out on the other side with a greater awareness, but maybe by the grace of God, a greater ability to listen and hear God, to follow God's guidance. I've been through many wilderness passages in my life, and I do not care to repeat them. But what I have gleaned from them is that they can be transformative. If you listen to God, they help you become your best and truest self. They help you, like Jesus, to hear that voice that says, you are my beloved. You belong to me. Don't let any other voice lead you astray. But listen to the right voice. Well, wilderness passages are difficult. It's really a maturation process. I'm not sure if, you know, regardless of what age we are, we're still not maturing. Certainly, spiritually, we're maturing. There's a story from Parker Palmer. You may be familiar with him. He went through a terrible wilderness passage in his life, a deep depression, and so it was recommended to him that he would go to this outdoor, kind of an outward bound kind of experience that was supposed to be therapeutic. And so he went reluctantly, and he's not an outdoorsman. He didn't know anything about rock climbing or rappelling, and it was part of the program. So he admits that they got out there, they put all the gear on him, and before he knew it, he was over the rock face. He was rappelling, scared to death. And so at a certain point, coming down the rock face, rappelling, he was frozen in fear, paralyzed. He couldn't move. His coach was up above trying to coach him. And he kept saying, lean out, lean out. But all that was open space. He was afraid he would fall. So the coach kept saying, lean out. But Parker was screaming up, I just want out. I want out of here. I want this to end. I want to go back home. So finally, the coach got his, he said, focus, focus on my voice. Listen, Parker, the only way out is through. The only way out of this is to move through it. I'll walk you through it. Listen to me. in our wilderness passages, as much as we don't like to go through them, by the grace of God, we can mature. We can learn to listen to the right voice. We can learn to give a fuller response of yes to God and follow the path before us. But that path will always lead through adversity. But on the other side, by the grace of God, we will discover the gift of that adversity, that wilderness passage, is resilience. Even for Jesus, in that testing by the devil, by Satan, the adversary of God, in that wilderness passage, even for Jesus, I'm convinced by the power of the Spirit, found a resilience that would sustain even him in his journey all the way to the cross and beyond. So the issue is, are we allowing our journey to perfect our hearing? Are we allowing the journey, even through the wilderness times, to help us listen more closely to the voice of God and respond by following in the path that God sets before us, to be our truest and our best self? That's the issue. And so in this 40 days of Lent, may our hearing, our listening, our discerning be refined. And may we know that in whatever wilderness passages we've been through, or maybe we're facing now, or will face, that God is with us. And we can discern the voice of God. And that the only way out is through, but God will walk us through. Even Jesus learned that. And so may it be so for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to close our service with a hymn of response. Walk by faith. Our journey is by faith. And sometimes you can only see to the end of the light. Sometimes you only know how to take the next step, not several steps. But in our traveling, we discern the voice of God that says, "You are my beloved, I am with you all the way." We walk by faith. Will you respond that way this week in your daily living? Let's stand and sing, "Walk by Faith."